Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Revere Beach. Hi, my name is Ann McNeil, and I am the master builder helping to build stronger, better lives and businesses. And I'm so excited to be hosting this podcast again today with Mr. Dan Calloway and our special guest, Deborah Hall McCullough. But I am still thoroughly convinced that after reading the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell, that we're all leaving the diamond mines in our own backyards as we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds we seek are found within us and in our own hometown from which we come. Therefore, we're calling this podcast Hashtag I Am Revere Beach, Hashtag Revere Beach Pride. Our special guest today is Deborah Hall McCullough. Attended Florida A&M University, where she studied magazine production and newspaper article writing. She was a sports and general assistant reporter for the award-winning campus newspaper, the FAMUan. She also interned with the Tallahassee Democrat newspaper. She was a radio announcer on the campus radio station, WAMF. And in 1989, Deborah became the first African-American female bookshelver for the Leon County Public Library. Her love for writing and gospel music encouraged her to start her own digital magazine and internet radio program, South Florida Gospel News. She was a co-host of Sunday Morning Inspirations with Brother Sanford Ward on B106.3 FM. Deborah went on to become the founder of the Florida Black Sports Hall of Fame. In 2006, Deborah was named the Empire School's Publication. She was named in the Empire School's Publication. She was also part of the Executive Board of Directors for the Palm Beach County Black Chamber of Commerce. She has worked for a number of professionals as a publicist, including Hill Harper, Luther Campbell, Janet Jackson, Yolanda Adams, Bobby Jones, Shaquille O'Neal, and more. Deborah wrote a series of books on Riviera Beach entitled Riviera Beach Moments, Volumes 1 through 4, highlighting the connect with Ms. McCullough. Please connect with Ms. McCullough on this podcast. You can reach her at 561-983-1710. And normally, every Sunday, I read something from the moments, Ms. McCullough, just so you know, giving you a shout-out every single Sunday. But I don't think that there's a need to do that today. So welcome to the podcast, and I am going to turn this over to Mr. Calloway. Welcome, both of you. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everybody who listened. And most of all, once again, it's my privilege to be in the company of you, Deborah. Since I went to school and grew up with your mother and father, although I'm older than your mother and father, your mother was two grades behind me, and that's my sister's classmate, and your father's one grade behind me. So I'm familiar with the whole family, and all of us claim you and your twin brothers and your other siblings because of the outstanding contribution the whole family contribute to Palm Beach County. It's more than just Riviera. I need to ask you two or three things. Number one, I think I need to get to one of the most important things that the Youth Recreation has been doing for the last 57 years, and is getting kids off to the Miami Dolphin football game. Give them that experience of going to, used to be the Orange Bowl, now is Joe Robbie Stadium, the great stadium down in Newman in Miami. They're down there with the Texan playing the Dolphins right now. Deborah, your brothers and your father was a part of that back there years ago, because your father was one of the Little League coaches in football when Gary and Terry was playing football, and then when they got in the Junior League, he volunteered his time as a chaperone when he had all those kids. And the most important thing, that you being a historian, I don't think we have given enough attention or exposure to the greatness of, he was like a colonel in the United States Army, Percy Lee. Percy Lee came here and was appointed the Urban League director. And I think ever since then, right now, Patrick Franklin, he's doing a tremendous, tremendous job, and all the rest of them. The late Percy Lee thought enough when he met with me, and I used to meet down there with him and Bob Moultrie. And, of course, you knew Deacon Moultrie, and Moultrie was one of the second group after Malcolm Cunningham, the first black elected official in Riviera.
Right.
When the next was Henry Taylor, Bob Moultrie, Bobby Brooks, and James Jones. Now, what Percy Lee did, knowing that we didn't have a budget in Riviera to take those kids all over like I was taking them different places, because I knew if they get the exposure of traveling, it would make them a better citizen. And when they go off to college or whatever their endeavors, they would be more wholesome, well-rounded. Now, I need to bring up, knowing you were younger than your twin brothers, and, of course, they talked about it, and you knew about your father being a volunteer coach in the recreation department, once a police officer, once into construction worker, but he always gave his time. Now, with the kids down there, of course, we bought them all shirts. We bought 50 shirts for 50 kids and 5 shirts for the chaperone. That is intent. If they get separated with 75,000 people down in the stadium, all we have to tell the security is a white shirt with this lettering on, that's the kid you need to bring back where we are seated at. That's what Conrad Jones Sr., there's Conrad Jones Jr., and there's Artie Williams down there chaperone. Normally, and then Shaq Leonard Jr., normally I would be there because my health, I don't go on trips like that anymore. I stay home and they call and check in and tell me they're all right, they're eating the food. Now, you being a historian, I need to ask you your view on starting the kids off in middle school. Most of the kids we got there right now is from John F. Kennedy. And there's a few from other schools, but most of them are in the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, middle school. What is your thought on taking kids to events? And, of course, we'll talk about when you answer that question, because we got some other trips set up.
Okay, I think it's wonderful and provides life-changing experience for young people. And I will say that because I personally know some people, you know, middle school, high school, who never had the opportunity to go anywhere, be around people. And the first trip that they got out of town was on the bus headed to prison. And so I think it's so important to provide opportunities, especially for young men, to give them an opportunity to get out, see other places, interact with other people other than, you know, people at their school, people in their neighborhood. I think it provides a wonderful opportunity and then lets them know that, hey, it's more to life than, you know, whatever street you live on or whatever complex or whatever home you live in. It's more to life out here other than what you might see on TV. You actually get to experience, especially sending those young men and women to a professional football game. I've never been to a professional football game. However, I did get the opportunity to travel to the Orange Bowl for a classic when Florida A&M played, which got me interested in going to college. So, yes, it does make a difference. It really, really does.
Well, I forgot to mention this to you. Homegrown, Abe Elam, of course, he played in the NFL. His brother, Matt Elam, played in the NFL. And now Abe's son is a starting cornerback. He was first-round draft choice by the Buffalo Bills. And Buffalo right now is rated in the top three teams in the NFL. And they are expecting Buffalo to go to the Super Bowl, which would be great for us. Because you remember back in 91, one of the kids that grew up in our program in the project on in West Palm Beach. He grew up, but his all his family grew up in Riviera, the Halls and the Anderson. O.J. Anderson, mm-hmm. Otis Anderson, Otis Jerome Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
He
yeah.
went to the University of Miami in the 91. He was playing for the New York Giants. They beat the same Buffalo team. And he was the most valuable player. Most people don't know that. Now, he's not in the Hall of mm-hmm. Fame, but he's on the list, and just like numerous other kids from Palm Beach County is on the list to go into the Hall of Fame. But all mm-hmm. those kids came up in our program, and because we thought it wouldn't be robbery to go and give kids the opportunity, and I think that's what you, in writing about, you've been a part of that, and I know that's from your family because I know what your father was doing. Now, you said that the exposure is very important for kids like that. I think that when we were doing it in Little League and then mostly in high school, we need to stay in the middle school because that's when the body change, when they're 12 and 13 years of age, we got to do anything we can to keep them out of jail. We got a new program, and I should have called you about that. It's about help. 2 months ago, they had a program on 60 Minutes. I look at 60 Minutes every Sunday, and they were doing a story in Chicago about hope. Two wealthy white guys gave $500,000 apiece and then promised more, to give 125 inner-city kids in Chicago free scholarship. And if their parents want to go back to a trade school or something, I don't know that you see that. But the important thing is if we don't work hard to give the kids now, not just get them out of high school, we need to get them out of college or junior college or trade school, because the jobs need to have that type of a background to get the good paying jobs. Right now, Deborah, the cost of living in Palm Beach County in the state of Florida is out of sight. The grocery, everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go to Thanksgiving. You brought up several. Mm-hmm. You and I were talking off record. Quote again to the people about your phone calls about food.
Yes, sir. So I answer the main telephone line for the city of Riviera Beach. So we get calls about everything. And most of the calls that we have been receiving for, I'd say since November 1st, were people who were looking for food for Thanksgiving. So usually there's a food giveaway every month over at Wells. I forgot the name of the organization that provides food, but they didn't do it for November. So there are so many families that were in need. People were calling around trying to find a turkey or trying to find just something to eat for Thanksgiving. And I lost, at first I was keeping count, but I did lose count of the number of people that were calling. We got so many calls, not just from Riviera Beach residents, but from all over, for people who are struggling to make ends meet. Because, you know, during the pandemic, rent increased, everything mm-hmm. increased. So many people are living in their cars. You can just go right over there to Bicentennial Park, and you can see the tent city that's set up where people that are actually living there under tents. So there mm-hmm. was a gap this year where, you know, last year turkeys were scarce. Well, this year there were none that were provided. So for one turkey giveaway that I know of that was done by the Port of Palm Beach in collaboration with a couple of council persons. But other than that, and then they only had 200 to give away. So we probably had more than 200 phone calls from people that were looking for food for Thanksgiving Day. And then I was able to refer them, you know, to your organization. And as you say, you all give away food every year. And it was a big blessing to be able to say, hey, you can call this number, get your name on this list, and then you can pick up your meal on Thursday for your family.
Mm-hmm. Well, I made a decision because of the last 2 years. I had to keep the record of that for me. We gave out 7,000 year before last and last year. But because of the pandemic and the gas prices and what made the turkeys and a lot of other food, nobody, they didn't have any truckers to go and deliver right. the stuff to the grocery stores. And so they shut down a lot of things, and then when things get scarce, the price gouging comes up. They price everybody a lot of money. Well, I can't afford to have food on my table and never miss a meal, and people call and say, would you please consider giving us some food? The churches knew about what we were doing. You take like Jay's ministry. Our mayor runs that. That was 500. I don't know what you call Stony Brook. It's another name right now. That's 602
people. It's Azura State.
Okay, well, that's we dropping off, and then down there off of 45th Street in Australian on the west side of the street is Hampton Courts, right there before you get to 45th Street. That's 282 people. I mean, families. But they've been doing this. And then when the word get out, all the churches knew about this here. They would send people, and that was people. Evidently, I was surprised all the people walking off the street came in there to get a meal or two and asking could they get two or three more plates to take home. So evidently you told them or somebody told them about go over to Lindsay Davis Senior Citizen right between 28th and 29th Street off of Ara. And near off of Ara, not too far from S Avenue, which was a good thing. But we had, including I gotta give two of the councilmen really credit because Trodrick McCoy came through at the last to get us the turkeys because turkeys was was shortage. See, we had to buy nobody. Nobody going to give you hams. People buy hams for us. We give people honey-baked hams. That was a lot of people said, why are you giving, even Patrick Franklin said, you need to give them chicken. Why are you giving them honey-baked hams? Well, we've been giving them honey-baked hams. Now, honey-baked hams, cost the ones we buy, cost $75. But what we don't have to cook it. See, we have to fry those turkeys. Yeah. Those turkeys are raw. So we are paying people to cook the turkey, but we don't have to pay people to cook the ham. All we have to do is get people to buy the ham. Now, because it's already sliced, I mean, where you can just cut it and they fall off. And people, that's top of the line. That's what I eat. And if I eat it, I want the other people to have that. And that's what we are doing. Right. But the other part, Deborah, when Richard Riles and Pastor Drayton and seven more ministers, well, 20 of them, went to Fort Myers, we put up together all kind of water and drinks and chicken and fish and everything. They went on there on a Monday and came back on a Tuesday. They left 5 o'clock that morning. And they were over there before they could even fix all the roads, but they needed to help feed the people. There's a lot of people who got relatives in West Palm, Riviera, and Belleglade. And that's why we fed a lot of people in Belleglade on Wednesday. We always give Belleglade for 1,000. We gave them for 3,000 this time to help them out. Yeah. Because a lot of the relatives, and there was some from the Bahamas, came over and they were living and they needed meals. See, the Bible teaches us that Jesus was going to and fro. He was feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, and giving visitation to the incarcerated in the hospitals. And then he was doing something that we can't do. Now, we can do what he was doing there, but we can't give sight to the blind and raise no dead. Now, we're not going to do that. We can't do that. We don't have that type of power. But I think that we got to stop being selfish. Say, I got mine, you try to get yours. We don't need that attitude.
Right.
We got to rally together and help the least, the lost, and the left out. I say this all the time. I don't think that's hard. I just think the more hands get in the middle of something. See, there's a lot of people from Singers Island and a lot of people around, they'll call and say, what can I do? And as long as we rally together and do what Martin Luther King was teaching us, to go to and fro and up and down and look out for that. You remember he said you got to go in the valley, but most of all, we got to hew out the mountain of despair, a stone of hope. If we don't give people hope, what you think they're going to do? Why you think they got a tent city over there on the causeway, up under the bridge, and everybody complaining that they're over there on our beach? They call them bums. Those people are misfortune because somewhere along the line, they lost their hope. And that's what we got to do better. Now, what do you think about that?
I totally agree with you. And I can attest to what you're saying because I see it every day. I see young men who are literally living at City Hall. I pass by them every single day, and they are there all day. And, you know, they have lost hope along the way, like you said. And I try to treat everybody the same and encourage them. If I have something, you know, I speak to them, good morning. You know, they're very respectful.
Mm-hmm.
But as a young man, you know, they're homeless, and it's like three or four of them that are living there at City Hall. And we have to do better. We have to share. Sometimes I share my lunch with them. People say, no, you shouldn't do that, because if you do that, you encourage them to not do better. And I try to give back where I can in the community. My husband and I, we do scholarships for kids that are in high school and in college, and sponsorship to just show, you know, to show some love to people.
What
I totally agree with you, and I thank you for saying that what you eat is what you want somebody else to have. You're not going to just give people just anything. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's going to be the best. And people really do appreciate that. And then also, you probably got a lot of people coming to Lindsay Davis because it was on a list that 211 Palm Beach County put out. They put out a list of places to eat for Thanksgiving for free from Vero all the way down to Broward County. And I think I think you guys are like number 3 or 4 on that list. I did a Facebook Live on Wednesday, and I read it off. But, yeah, that's probably why you got so many people coming over. But just to know that the love is put into each meal that's prepared, you're not just throwing some leg quarters together and giving it to people, that you actually want them to have the best, and it does make a difference.
Well, you know, years ago, we've been doing this for a long time. Like I told everybody, it started with Don Wilson. And, of course, he was my personal friend, and he was your mother's classmate in class of 58. Mm-hmm. Don Wilson was assistant principal at John F. Kennedy. And there were some families in there needed help for Thanksgiving. And he got with, at the time, Herman McCray, Elder McCray. Of course, everybody knew Herman because he was a big barbecue man. And he was like most of us, like Don and I and Robbie and Herman, the four of us, we were like brothers. I'm the oldest one of the group. And, of course, Herman's sister and himself are great cooks. And Don got us to feed a list of people he had that we need to drop off food. Some of them had a lot of children. Some of them was ill. And we were glad to do that. And it started off with about 30 to 40 people, and now we are talking about 8,000. But the main thing about it is we got more people involved. We had over 140 volunteers. Just like you take, like, years ago, we dealt with the people up there on North Lake, up there by Christ Fellowship. And they were giving out turkeys and turkey dinners. But they cooked this a week ahead of time and put it in the freezer. Well, if you freeze a turkey, it dries it out. It makes it tough. Mm-hmm. So I said, we'll never go with this no more. We had to pay a little money to get into that. I told Herman before he died, and then Derek McCray, I said, what we're going to do, we're going to pay certain people to start frying the turkeys and certain food, say 11, 12, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. That's when they cook. Because at 10 o'clock in the morning, I need all that food to be warm, never been in the refrigerator. I need it to, for when they get it, if they don't want to eat it then while they're looking at a ball game at 1 and 2 o'clock on Thanksgiving, it won't be because we put it in a refrigerator. It's all warm.
Right.
That's why we had so many people to put it in the boxes, and we knew where we were going to drop it off. We didn't have to serve it to everybody. All we had to do was drop it off. Just at Stony Brook, they had three or four people there. They knew who they was going to give it out to everybody. Every place we did that, and we wanted them to have fresh food, and it was always a dessert tray in there. Only thing we don't give is water and lemonade or punch or something like that. We going to give them some kind of dessert and that food. And I tell people, like the churches, who say, well, we represent Mount Olive. We represent Hilltop. I don't need the church to give us any publicity. I just need people to volunteer, to help. And then if they can't volunteer, give us a check. Because you know what each one of those hams costs? The size, $75. That was three or four people that I just told you. But Doug Lawson was there not only in the line dipping the food, but he was there asking me different questions about our next thing. We're going to feed 300 on the 15th of December right at Wells at 12 o'clock for the senior citizens.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be three busloads from Belgrade, South Bay, and Pahokee, and there are going to be 10. Ed Walker, who grew up right here, right in Federal Garden, who's a retired firefighter. He lives up in Port St. Lucie. He's going to bring 10 senior citizens down to have a Christmas dinner with her. Now, why is that important? That we don't know what all these people got homes. A lot of people at home don't have anything in the cupboard. That theory and all that thing, everybody's old mother Hubbard, who had a cupboard, but it was off of there. A lot of places, you just a while ago said that. You see people all the time need a helping hand. And everybody who they call a bum is not a bum. They just had what we call bad luck. And then they lose hope. Deborah, when people lose hope, they lose everything. And that's why we always got to say something good to a person. Just sometimes put an arm around them. Like you say, you see the people, and they always respect you, and you respect them. So you and your husband been giving them, buying them some food or something like that. I told Deirdre, I said, Deirdre, we work already, Deirdre Jacobs. I said, Deirdre, I know everybody want us to go over there and help out with the bums. They call them the bums. I said, they're not bums. They just got misfortune. We all had that. But we got to be like Riviera used to be. Wasn't no dough lock.
Right.
What we did, if I had food and you walked by, come on in and have some of this food. See, we got to stop not sharing, and that's what we got to learn. And you see, sometimes God sent us a disaster to bring us together. See, a lot of people, when the hurricanes came through the Bahamas 4 years and tore it up, we had dumpsters and all kind of things that at different churches, and I was in charge of that. I had them all to bring it to Mount Olive, and Reverend Evans and Reverend Waddell allowed me to have them to bring all that stuff and put it in our dining room, and we had things. Because Derek McCray went to the port. One of the port officials, and we got those containers, and we had it right there on Blue Heron, right in that shopping plaza, the S Avenue shopping plaza. And we, and actually, he was the mayor at the time being, Bishop Masters, and he got on the boat and went over to the Bahamas with the food. See, that's when we show what we all should do. If we share, if everybody give a little, it becomes a lot. So I'm glad that you were there answering that phone. If there's ever emergency, now, I don't know that I see you a month ago. right after the hurricane, when everybody went over to Fort Myers, I was over there. The only reason I didn't get up 5 o'clock and go with them, which that's a long ride for me, but I was going. But your city manager, Jonathan Evans, had already set up a meeting with me, and Artie brought me over there. And one thing I need to bring up and to get on the air again, I've been talking about this about 6 or 8 years. When are we going to build a shelter, our own shelter? Now, when on the Barrier Islands, when they say evacuate them and go here, now you got so many schools that designated will be a shelter. You got it on the list. All of you all got it. But what happened if they are coming? And I talked to Bill Conto, an attorney who lives over on Singers Island, 2 days ago. I said, what happened if all of Singers Island and Palm Beach have to evacuate and where they're going? You think all the schools can help everybody? See, if that water's coming over off that ocean and push everything over on Singers Island in the lake, and it's going to be flooding, the next thing you know, it's going to be in Monroe Heights because water, right. Water travels. And where are we going to put them? But the city manager said that he finally is going to go before the council and start trying to work out something on some property. And then I was told by Doug Lawson 2 days ago, I mean not 2 days ago, 3 days ago, that an old Suncoast said, what is it, Inlet Grove? Evidently the
yeah.
city finna go in. Do you know about that?
No, I haven't heard anything about it.
Something? Yeah, they're going to... Well, Doug Lawson said they just passed that and working on that. They're going to build on the property that is designated by the school, and they're going to build another gym, a big gym. So Inlet Grove will have that, and then the city will be able to use that as more of a shelter and a soup kitchen. Somebody said, what if it doesn't have a hurricane? I said, well, if you got a soup kitchen, you got all these people hungry, feed them 6 days a week. I don't believe in feeding people on Sunday because I don't want people to have to go in and work. And on Sunday, I give them the opportunity to go to church. Now, but 6 days a week, we need to have a food a soup kitchen. Because every time we have the lights, Pastor Parker, who was the pastor of was the church on Silver Beach and S Avenue, the Methodist Church, he's no longer there. The last time we went about 4 or 5 years ago when it was gone with no lights for a long time, they have a kitchen there and they had the generator. And
are you talking about Hearst Chapel?
Yeah, Hearst Chapel. We used that kitchen for 3 to 4 weeks, feeding everybody who didn't have because of it took a long time for Florida Power Light to get all the lights back when that
right.
hurricane came through here. It didn't damage everything, but the lights. See, this is why they put all the electric wiring up under the ground. See, most of us with the poles up in the air, if any time you have a hurricane, somehow or another they're gonna blow that stuff down. So I ask you, as a historian, what is the next step you think we need to try as citizens? See, we got more of a voice than we think we are because we the one vote the people in there. We need to tell our representative, all our elected officials, and the city manager, and the mayor, that same thing we need. Now, what is one thing you think that we need right now, and you were over... They are closer to see it eyeball to eyeball from inside out. I'm looking outside in. I know from the outside in what we should do. What should we do? Because I think I heard a little disgruntled a little bit that we should be, the city was cooking food or giving away food. They didn't do it this time. But if that's so, why we are not doing it? We need to do more now than ever.
Right, and this is a discussion that my reply to you has come up many times, is that, and especially in the past few months, or I say the past couple of years, is having a shelter for people to go to. And I know because I work for the city and I see it. I have to go over to the Marina Event Center for meetings. I see the people out there. I go to Publix right there by the Blue Haven Bridge. I see the people mm-hmm. in the parking garage who have all of their stuff in their cars because they're living in their car. I see the need when families come to City Hall looking for help. I need help with my rent. I need somebody to help me pay my utilities. But this is also something that former councilperson Don Fardo talked about a lot, which was building a shelter in Riviera Beach. I know that I think the county did one or something like that, but for specifically for the city of Riviera Beach, we really have to do something about people who are in need. And it's more than, like you said, they're not bums. There are people who are down in their luck. They might have missed that one rent payment when their rent increased $500 and they had to move.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they might have lost their job or lost their spouse due to COVID. Who knows what happened? But mm-hmm. we don't have a resource in the city to say, hey, you know, go over here. You can get a hot meal. You can take a shower. Other than, what's the place that does the lunch every day? Oh, gosh. Over off of E Avenue.
Yeah.
St. George.
So you talk.
Yeah.
Okay. But you see, what you're saying is what we've been talking about. See, if you put up a shelter, you make it just like a high school gym. When you just mm-hmm. take your high school, when you were in physical ed, they got a girls' locker room and then a boys' locker room. There's showers in there. And if you build a big building, you put a shower for up in the front of the building in the back, and it can house 500. Now, when there's no sun, all you have to do is use it for tutorial after school program. Teach them. Mm-hmm. One of the things the Youth Recreation is going to do, starting in January, I've already signed off on that. Just like the kids down in Miami now, we've been doing that. But they're going to go to the Kravis Center or some of those places like that in with that type of entertainment. I want kids in the middle and the high school to learn to go to something where it use their mind a lot, not physically. You see, I think that going to the Kravis and see a play, a show, we got to do better than that. Going to a movie is one thing, but a play, it's different than when you go to those buildings like that, because normally you have to put on a coat. Normally you dress differently. They're not going to let you go in there with kind of shorts and everything. You got to learn to go with the flow. And we got to teach people at an early age this is what it is. We don't ride in the back of the bus no more. I know I won't. So we got to do and to keep up with everything. Now, let's go back to the feeding. Is no what the thing that the councilman told me Saturday, we're going to do better than that. And I know what Trodrick saw we were struggling to get enough turkeys and things to meet our quota. He went right and got them. See that? But mm-hmm. I can't say that about all the councilmen. But Doug Lawson and Trodrick, and especially Dr. Botel, they will never let the youth recreation down. They are part of that.
Mm-hmm.
But most of all, that's what leadership is about. You can't allow your citizenry to suffer when some of us are doing well, and then we're going to let the loss stay lost. No, we got to go out there, because in the Bibles, the shepherd of the flock had 100 sheep, and he got around to a block or something from where he was going. He was missing one, so he had on the 99. So you going to leave the 9? No, he said, I got to go back and get that other sheep. You don't lose nobody.
That's right.
You got to do that. And I think, Deborah, some of the stuff, 99% of the things that happening in the city or the county, and one of the things I wanted you to know, that Virginia Baker has really been working closer with the Youth Recreation. I can tell you that right now.
Very good.
Because she when the pandemic, the people in Belgrade and Pahokan South Bay wouldn't take the shots, she asked me personally, would I go out there and talk to the people? Because she knows when I was in law enforcement, I set up all kind of programs over there. And I went over there and talked to them because it was erroneous information that it's like Jim Jones is going the virus and the shots is going to kill everybody,
right,
which was dumb. That's
right.
Why a lot of things it kept spreading because everybody wouldn't go and take those shots and stay masked up. See, sometimes
right.
We got to go and let somebody who have gone to school for a specific thing to tell us and have a little faith in that. But anyway, how much time we got? What time is it now? Before we bring our fierce leader in here. No, we got about 20 minutes. Not quite 20 minutes. Where's Ann? Ann, are you there?
Mr. Callaway, I'm right here. Yes, y'all. I tell you what. You listen, this is so exciting. We're going to have you back.
Thank you.
Well, she's knowledgeable of everything. That's why she's supposed to be running the city. I tell Deborah, I said, Deborah, you and Deidre are supposed to be running the city. I don't worry about the mayor and the councilman. I worry about Deborah and Deidre. Yeah, y'all run the city. That's what I told the city manager. I told him that.
Oh, my goodness.
I know who can run the city.
Deborah said she's doing exactly what she's supposed to be doing. She's been called
then,
to God.
Yeah, well, let me put it this way. You got a lot of supporters behind you. But, and the thing what we got to do, and I listened at Doug Lawson carefully 2 days ago, or 3 days ago, whenever Thanksgiving was, that he's going to get with me in the middle of the week. And we want some more opinions. See, the Bible teaches me that Jesus took the old man because he knew the road, and he took the young man because he could carry the load. See, people think because my head is white and I'm 84 going on 85 that I've lost the sense of where we should be going. In 40 and 50 years ago, I couldn't turn around when everybody was asking the question. I've always told people, use people in their perspective position and never forget about history, because only way you know history, you got to live history. See, you can learn about his story, but your history is because you live that and you know that. And you know good and well it's the authenticity of it is the correct thing, because you don't want people telling you something that is wrong. And right now, we are not where we should be, because disaster, we're going to be in a recession. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Now, what are we going to do now? And you see, if we don't prepare right now to have every week where we going to go to these food supplies and have people, Deborah brought up about they were feeding once a day at one of those places. We got to go back. We got to have some place that somebody who need a meal, they know they can get one to two meals a day. Now, we just got to do that. Now, we got set up for April where we're going to have, Deborah, we're going to honor all the former first responders, all the police officers in the firemen of Riviera.
Mm-hmm.
We have already contacted the police chief, and he's contacted the fire department, and then we're going to have some activities like games and stuff. We bring the police officers and the firemen. We're going to have a co-ed and a softball team, and teams. We're going to have ladies, so you get an option, be on the co-ed, the ladies, or the men. And then what are we going to do now, Deborah? Where we are failing everybody, and you can blame a person like me because I've been into this for many years, going on 59 years, we have forgotten about the 25-year-old young men to 42. We don't have no program for them. We just think they ought to know better to do better. But, no, they don't know better to do better. That's why they're out in gangs. That's why they're shooting and killing each other. Black-on-black crime make me cry every every day. Down in West Palm Beach on 5th and, what is that, Sapodilla? They kill it. They're killing on Tamron, Riviera on E Avenue. Everywhere you turn, somebody, Boynton, Delray, and in Belgrade is even worse. It's black. White people ain't killing black people now. It's always black on black crime, and we got to do better because we know better. We can't have that. Why would I be right now with learn in a setting with the little boy from Troy, John Lewis, the Jesse Jackson, Ralph Abernathy, all us following around, walking behind. When I was in New York, and my grandmother over there in Jersey, when they marched over there, I marched. I just wasn't going to go to Selma. I wasn't going to go across that bridge because I knew what they were going to do, put the hoes and the dogs on women, and I'd have been killed because I'd have jumped over there on the people for doing that because that could have been my mother, and they would have killed me. And that was the only thing that saved me because I refused to go because I couldn't be nonviolent. I couldn't handle that because I had been to an army. But the point is, Deborah, give us what you think we need to do, and I guarantee you, as the person who's going to have the final word with the youth recreation, we'll put that in motion.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, we got to give people hope. We got to get out into the community. We have to enforce the rules in our city. When these companies come and they say they're going to hire from Riviera Beach, we have to make sure they hire from within Riviera Beach.
Okay.
We have a lot of major companies here. We got to provide some jobs to people, and we have to give them the resources. We really do have to each one reach one and each one teach one. We have to, we especially have to get some trade programs here. I don't know if they still offer those trade programs like they used to offer at North Tech. Back in the day, that's where everybody was going, learning HVAC,
learning
how to work on engines and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what happened to those programs, but we have to try to get them back and also without charging the people an arm and a leg to get into those programs. I think that it's possible for us to build up our community. We have to be willing to put in the work and to make the sacrifice and, you know, give people some hope. Give people give people an opportunity to work. If you know somebody who needs work, for example, our landscape and our neighbor's landscape, instead of us getting out there doing it, my husband said, well, I know my friend lost his job, so you know what, I'm going to hire him, let him come over here and earn a couple of dollars. Those couple of dollars, he can go home and buy some gas and put it in his car and feed his family. It's just little things like that that each one of us can do that can contribute to the well-being of our community. And then also we have to hold ourselves accountable for when we walk outside our door, what we look at, we have to hold ourselves accountable. And that, by that, I mean keeping up your house. If you know your neighbors are up to no good, you got to report it. You got to do something about it, and you cannot let your neighborhood go down to the ground, to the garbage can. And if it does, whose fault is it? And like you said, it's not the white people that's killing us. We're doing it to ourselves. We're destroying ourselves. And we have the power to turn that around. As an individual, think about what contribution can I make today that's going to change somebody's life or that's going to help somebody. Even if it's a kind word, you may not have the money to help somebody. Even a good morning. How are you doing? What can I do to help you? Start somewhere. Take baby steps and then take bigger steps. Well, as an individual, what is your contribution to make your household better, which will help make your community better, make your city better, and hopefully make change in this world for the better?
Well, let me tell you what you, one of the key things, that all of what you said was just powerful. We have so many Fortune 500 business in Riviera, probably more than any city in Palm Beach County. Right over there, you take from 13th Street, from Blue Heron to 13th Street, Australian to Obama Way, back tucked in there. And then down on the waterfront, you got three of the world's greatest yacht builders. All these people making money right in here. We don't get enough. And then one of the commissioners, I won't call the name, said, well, I think we can't say anything to them. I said, you don't have to say nothing to them. Turn the bulldogs on them, and I'll be one of them. Let me go and talk to them. Danny Jones tried. He took me. I didn't know they were back in there. I was ignorant of everything. I didn't know all that was back in there. He showed me all those things. All we have to do is have somebody from the CRA office and the city manager office to go give those people a letter and say, right now we in crunch time. Your tax dollar doesn't take care of all these people. We need you to put some in account to help the least and the lost and the left out, where we can feed. And then the mayor 3 years ago came and said, Mr. Calloway, would you help me get all the ministers together? That's what the mayor said. Said, we want the churches to give X amount of money a month. And for we can go when they need to have the house painted, the roof, and if under the sinks, sometime those things going to leak. And if it leak and you don't do something about it, mildew. The next thing the mildew going to be in there so bad, it's going to people with asthma and an old person like me, it's going to affect their health. We got to do that. And right now, we got people in the youth recreation go to the senior citizens, and we're supposed to put it on a list and turn it in to the city manager. He said, and he'll call Public Works. But you see, the city manager is inundated with running the CRA and
CRA,
the city.
Yeah.
That's too much. That is too much. You cannot do all that because you just can't do it. See, that was a mistake. I think Jonathan is one of the great people we've ever had, but he cannot do that because you should have had a young person to be over the CRA who was in there running and let him learn up under the city manager, and he said and monitor that. We make too many mistakes. We make too many mistakes. And then right now we should have a guy from Public Works. When somebody remind the city in Monroe Heights on S Avenue that the windows are bone, they need a door, they need a wall need to be replaced. We ought to send those people down there. All you have to do is write letters to all those companies. They'll give you the material to do that. That's what when you're building those habitat homes, they'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to go and try to figure out how to build the habitat homes here. The people will do that. And there's people come in, you got the material, and everybody do a little, it becomes a lot. But that comes from leadership. Our leadership doesn't handle this here well. See, we got to get everybody who owned the payroll to give me 8 hours of solid work and pull us out of this doldrum, and then make the community get right behind them and hold their little feet to the fire. But most of all, the church has got to do their job.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, the pulpit.
You know what,
see,
Mr. Calloway? I forgot to tell you, sorry for cutting you off, but I remember when I think I was my first year out of high school, there was the private industry council. And I was able to get a job and earn me a little bit of paycheck, you know, so I could go back to college. I didn't have to depend on my parents. We really didn't have the money anyway, but I didn't have to depend on them to buy my books. I was able to work through that program and earn me some money to take back to school with me. Yeah.
Well, that started under Percy Lee. Started under the I don't forgot the initials. That's where a lot of people, because I'm telling you, that summer program, I was over 111 individuals. In other words, Belgrade, down in Boynton, I went to Clark Martin, was running the gym, and I would have him when Anthony Carter, Harry Gosia, and Derek Harper and them were seniors, they all had summer jobs. You remember, that was a time you go to school in the morning for 2 or 3 hours, and you go to work,
Work
2 or 3 hours,
afternoon,
and you get paid. Yes, and you get paid.
Right.
You, the ones who had bad grades, send them to school, and then they go to certain places, and all I had to do was take the timesheet at the end of the week or the end of the month and bring it in and sign off on it. And Percy, the people who was paying the money was for the county and under the Urban League. That's what happened. And we should always fight for that. Because one thing I do know, if you train kids at an early age a job and get in their mind, the more money they make and the more they work at an early age, then they're not going to go out here and try to sell drugs and steal hubcaps, the shortcut. See, we allow the people on the street to be a better product than we are who are trying to do it right. Because it's glamorous to people with a big roll of money and wearing a big hat and out there with all the jewelry around the neck, instead of we going and tell them that's only momentarily. And next thing you know, somebody going to get shot or wrong.
Right.
But one thing I do know, we got to do better. And I tell you what I need you to do. If you do in your spare time, like in a week, less a week, put 3 or 4 or 5 things on paper and call Adi and tell him to pick it up.
Okay.
All I need is in my hand. I don't need – see, you are employed. There's only so much you can say. But I can say anything I want to say because I don't have a job and don't want a job. If I needed a job, I'd work for Ann. So, Ann, you got it.
I'm still laughing, Mr. Calloway. So, Deborah, you know we love him to life. You know that's why we make this platform for the work of him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we are going to have you come back because I do read your message. I read one every week. I read a story every week from your book. Yes, on the show before we start sharing, just so you know, we give you the credit. All right, so we want to thank you and all of our listeners. Yes, we want to thank you for coming on and sharing with us today. And Mr. Calloway, as always, you know, you are just all the way live, and we love you so much. We want to also remind everybody, please remember to comment, like, and share the show. And please remember to join us next week as we bring you another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach, Hashtag Riviera Beach Pride. Again, my name is Ann McGill, and I am, yes, I am, the master builder helping to build stronger and better lives, businesses, and communities. And we'll see everybody next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.